time to take KSL Outdoors. This is Utah's most listened to program about hunting, fishing, camping, and high adventure. All the gear you need to buy, where the fish are biting, and secret places in Utah and around the world where you can have a blast. KSL Outdoors with host Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Good morning and welcome to a brand new day. It is a pleasure to have you with us here for another Saturday morning on what has been the understatement of the world would be a tumultuous week. And it is nice to know you're out there listening on this Saturday morning for another edition of KSL Outdoors Radio. We are, as you've been listening to KSL for the past week or so, practicing what we preach when it comes to this social distancing thing. Amanda Dixon has been doing her part of Utah's morning news each morning between 5 and 9 from her home. We have our traffic reporters in their homes in two various places while Andy Farnsworth is here at Triad Center. And we're practicing that throughout the day with Dave and Dujanovic and even Jeff Kaplan in the afternoon. Anyway, there was some discussion that maybe we should just run pre-recorded shows, past shows or best of shows from the outdoor show on this Saturday morning and maybe next Saturday morning while we work our way through this mess with coronavirus. And the longer I thought about it, the more I thought, you know what? I think that our listeners who have become accustomed to hearing these voices on Saturday morning and some of the craziness that takes place between 6 and 8 may be comforted by the fact that we're still together. I should have actually thought of this a long time ago. I mean, both of you look a lot better from here, and you smell better, too. Russ Smith is hunkered down at the compound up there in Sugar House and joins me on the phone. Hey there.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning. And Navadot.
Well, no, I was going to say, I was supposed to be alone in the shop. She closed the door, but she left both dogs in here. So my apologies in advance for the barking.
So it's a two-dog morning for you over there. I guess it is most mornings.
Quiet.
Yeah. Also in the Kaysville compound is Mike Navadovskis. Navi, how are things up your way?
I'm well. I'm living in a van down by the river.
You know what? I've got a 10-year-old granddaughter that would move in with you if she could. They live in West Valley, which is about 40th West where their home is, and she's tired of the aftershocks.
Yeah, I loved it, though. Wasn't that fun? My wife freaked, but it was fun. I thought it was a fun.
Yeah, well, fun when you figured out everybody was okay. Whatever. Russ, you're going to tell us I lived in Southern California. I've been through this before.
That's true. All that's true. But realizing that, I mean, after the first 30 seconds, you say, well, I guess we're not going to die, so enjoy it, you know?
Just hang on for the ride.
Yeah, it's kind of cool to watch that roll go through your house.
Oh, my gosh. Back me up for a second here. I'd like to hear from both of you where you were and what the experience was like on Wednesday morning at about 7:09 a.m. Russ, starting with you.
Well, I was sitting at the kitchen table. I'd been up for quite a while and just relaxing. And it hit. And first, you know, it's unbelievable. You say, what, did a truck just back into the house or something?
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, it's an earthquake. It's been a long time. And you literally can watch the roll go through. Now, I don't know, physically that probably doesn't happen or else the house would be on the ground, but it sure seems like it does. But I thought the aftershocks were better, though. I mean, I was sitting in Chris's office up front where she's got things that make noise when an earthquake comes through, and listen to everything shaking and rattling in the cabinets and stuff was pretty cool.
Yeah. Navi, I immediately thought of you and Gail. You live in an older home, and it's brick, which are the two things they say to avoid in those situations.
Well, you know, they started us at 8 now at school instead of at 7. So I had my alarm set, and then I just pushed 10 more. I got 10 more minutes, so I hit it again. I don't have to be there till 8. I live across the street.
Yeah.
And then the bed started shaking, and I thought it was my wife, you know, getting me up. What? And she goes, what? And I go, oh, my gosh, this is an earthquake. And she says, what do we do? And I go, get to the door jamb. And and she said, "Why aren't you moving?" I go, "Because this is fun."
Yeah.
Not really. We have an old house and nothing upstairs that'll mash us, but the brick would have fallen in or out and crushed us because my house was built in 1939.
Yeah.
Well,
it turns.
Okay,
it
wait
turns,
a minute.
Go ahead.
Well, I need to make sure that we're understanding something here. Houses built are not normally built with brick. I mean, if it's a pre-1900 house, maybe it would be. But most of it's a brick facade. I don't know about yours, Navi, whether it's a brick facade or totally brick.
It's totally brick. You know it is. The brick
falls
off already. My chimney gets shorter every year.
Everybody's chimney can fall off. But my point is, a lot of people think, I'm not saying you, Navi, but a lot of people think they, if they have bricks on the outside of their house, that it's a masonry built house when it isn't. It's just a brick facade.
Why do you care to make that distinction? What is it? What is
it
with you?
Because I hear people going crazy saying, "I got a brick house," and I think, when was it built? 1980. I said, "It's not a brick house."
Hey, you know what, Russ? Mine is brick because I have punched a hole in the wall, and brick is right there. It's just plaster on brick.
Awesome. Then it is.
Yeah.
All right, have we solved that now between you two?
Well, I don't know why we always have to talk technology.
I'm still not satisfied that I've solved it, but okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm good with Navi. I just want our listeners to not go crazy just because they have bricks on the outside of their house. It's not a problem.
Yeah. And by the way, I understand I understand there is modern medicine. If your chimney gets shorter every year, you can get something to fix that.
Yeah, you always can, yeah.
Hey, you know what, Tim? Let's just say it smoke.
Yeah. Look.
Okay.
The train is off the tracks.
I'm good.
This is why I thought people would want to hear from us on this Saturday morning. Look, what I wanted to talk about today, and this is going to kind of be an overriding theme, is that while many things are closed down, and this goes beyond the earthquake, obviously, this goes now to the coronavirus thing. While many things are closed down, the outdoors is not. And you guys you guys know, last weekend I took the family, there were about 12 of us, that went up to the cabins at Bear River Lodge, and we decided, you know what, if you're supposed to wear a face mask and you're supposed to have gloves on and you're supposed to be socially distanced, I can't think of a better way to do it than have one or two people on a snowmobile with gloves, with coats, with helmets and face masks, and just get out and enjoy the outdoors. And it was a perfect day. And
Tim, that's what I say with skiing. We already wear masks and gloves. Why are they letting us ski?
That's right.
I know. Well, and my understanding was, just so you know, last week's show, I had interviewed the day before Ski Utah, and they were telling us, look, everything's a go. And this is how quickly these things are evolving and changing. But they had told us, Russ is talking to the dogs. They had told us that everything was a go, and by late in the afternoon on Saturday, they had all decided to shut down either temporarily or for good for the season. And they looked at many options. They were looking at, you know, maybe only putting two people per chair, every other chair up the lift, and no lodge open, those kinds of things. And it just became socially unacceptable, quite frankly, to have businesses open and people doing that. But, yeah, I mean, it's bad because it ended our ski season prematurely. But
yeah, they, you know, like I said, they have a season pass, so what do they care? Turn off the machine, we're going home.
Well, there are those conspiracy theories going around, and I like you, have received a couple of very apologetic emails from both Epic and Icon explaining that this was out of their control, that they feel bad about it, that they're still
going to spend our money.
They're going to continue to take a look at this. I know that Epic is talking about at least the possibility. I have my doubts, but opening three resorts down the line, if there's still some good skiing left, and that might be Whistler, that might be Heavenly, that might be Breckenridge, I think was the third one.
Hey, Tim, let me tell you, I know how my audience feels now who doesn't ski, because last night my wife and I are watching the weather, and she goes, "Isn't this horrible?" I go, "What do you mean?" She goes, "We watched the weather, and now we could give a crap about the weather. If you don't ski, weather means nothing. We watch the weather because we're watching for skiing, and now you watch it, and your face is just blank, because you don't really care if it rains or not. It doesn't mean anything if you're not going to ski.
Well, so it does appear ski season is done. For all intents and purposes, there may be a couple that open up in a few weeks. But I really think, and this is a sobering thought for everybody, we talked about a 14-day situation here. It's going to go on longer than that, and everybody should just know that. And by the way, that's impacting things like Russ's business. It's impacting things like your school teaching.
And my fly fishing class is dead.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, they killed that for sure.
Really?
Yeah. I had 68 students registered. I was full, both classes.
Wow.
Did you have a handful that were willing to still do it? Or?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, they did. But we really can't do it. I mean, we can't just can't do
you know
it.
One question. Mean, let me. I've been doing some very scientific research lately.
Oh boy!
Yeah, we believe you.
Oh boy!
Well, I just, for example, I ask everybody that comes to the shop, anybody I see and I can talk to that will still talk to me. How many people do you know that have this virus?
That, you know, that's irrelevant, Tim. I mean, Russ,
I know
because it's going to change next week and the week after. We haven't got there yet.
I already said it wasn't scientific, okay?
I know, but why are we talking about it?
So far, I've yet to find anybody that says they know anybody that has the virus, okay? I'm just saying.
All right, but here's the reality of it. And I, by the way, my angle on this, my thoughts on this have evolved as I sit here for 4 hours a day, Monday through Friday, listening to the experts talk. It's going to appear, at least in the next little while, that this virus is really going nuts and spreading like crazy because we're doing more testing. We weren't doing any testing. And the fact is this. Many people may have had this virus and not even known it because they were asymptomatic or had very mild symptoms.
Exactly. That's right.
However, that's what makes it dangerous, because then you think nothing's wrong and you get around somebody like Navidauskas here, who I expressed to him personally yesterday. You laugh. But you know what, Russ? You're in that category, too.
I know I am.
You're,
I know.
You're an old
My
guy.
Wife and I both are.
You're an old guy carrying some extra weight with diabetes. And if,
and more than that, more than you know.
If somebody comes around you and doesn't know that they have this thing and they accidentally give it to you, it's going to be deadly to
That's
you.
That's right.
But it's going to be less of a thing for them. So
hey, just so you know, if you're over 60, the statistic is 8% death. That's just what I'm saying. Russ is,
but
I mean, Tim is totally right.
I am working with those stats. I don't go out. Chris
does
all
anyway.
The shopping now. What? I never went out.
And
like I've told you guys, we are a sterile environment here. We are virus free.
Well,
hey Tim,
I don't know how you say that when you're an Airbnb, buddy, and you've got people that are coming into your house to do business with you. You have a double whammy that puts you at risk. But I do understand too that you use certain devices that will clean a room, kill germs, kill viruses, all those things.
Tim.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Tim.
Yeah. Hang on.
I got a poem. I got to get my poem.
All right. There's a good tease. You hang on. People will stay through the break. And coming up in a minute, oh boy, Navidauskas has a poem. These things happen when they've got
a poem about Navidauskas having a poem.
When they've got too much time on their hands. We'll come back. We'll have some new news of the week for you in just a minute. By the way, Dave Butts is still planning on returning to Africa, and he's going to be joining us. And Bob Grove, who makes his livelihood on giving tours to predominantly Chinese tourists, I'm sure is feeling the impact of this right now. And we'll talk to him about what this means for our, in the short term anyway, to our national parks. All of that coming up on the show, so stay with us.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
All right, welcome back to KSL Outdoors Radio. This is usually where we do our news of the week, but You know, with the news of the coronavirus and the news of the earthquake on Wednesday, there just aren't a lot of other things people want to talk about. Let me just read something I saw on Facebook from a friend of mine who says, he says, I know this. When this ends, and it will, every game will sell out. Every restaurant will have a two-hour wait. Every kid will be glad to be in school. Everyone will love their job. The stock market will skyrocket. Every other house will get TP'd, and we'll all embrace and shake hands. That's going to be a pretty good day. And just a reminder to hang in there to everybody. But our overriding message today with the Outdoor Show is, look, with a lot of other things in question, there is no question that you can still get outdoors. For those of us that love to play, and, you know, we can't go skiing, but we can still go hiking. You can go snowshoeing. You can go snowmobiling. You can do all of these things and still feel that your family is safe and that you're doing the right thing. And so that's our overriding message. And in line with that, coming up after news on the half hour, I'm going to share a conversation I had with Roger Eggett up at Bear River Lodge when I took my family up to do some snowmobiling last weekend. I don't know if there's ever a good time to do this, but I guess Navidomskis, because he's got a lot of time on his hands, has been writing poetry again.
Well, so, I wrote it during the last segment.
Oh,
here we go.
Wow.
Ready?
That worries me even more. All right.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
Pandemic by Mike Navidomskis.
Yeah, that was great.
Hang on.
Oh, there's more.
I bought some food. I bought some gas. Gonna use leaves to wipe my tears.
Thank you for ending it that way.
Yeah.
That was it?
That's good, don't you think? That's my pandemic poetry.
That was really bad. But I appreciate your effort. And the fact that you wrote it in the last 7 minutes proves to me.
I actually wrote it while you were trying to connect me on the phone with that.
All right.
Whatever we're doing to get connected on the same line.
All right. Yeah, go ahead, Russ.
Well, I wanted to say that the earthquake was such a blessing. My first thought when it started rolling is maybe they'll shut the hell up about this pandemic thing for a couple of minutes and talk about something else.
Okay,
there you go.
That's not going to happen.
No.
And maybe
it did, briefly.
Maybe locally, but we had town halls on the coronavirus last night that all the television stations linked up to. And yesterday, by the way, when Amanda Dixon and I were pretty much the only thing on the air shortly after the earthquake, we had a lot of people that were listening and a lot of people that were helping comfort us while we were trying to comfort them.
Absolutely, Tim. I agree with you. Russ doesn't listen to that.
Well, this is a time, and Russ, you brought it up, this being a blessing. The folks behind the scenes that have always tried us to get engaged in earthquake drills in Navi's classroom or planning at home for BeReadyUtah.gov, any of that stuff. They're saying, look, this was the perfect earthquake for us because it wasn't big enough to cause widespread damage. We had no loss of life, and yet now people are going to take this a little more seriously.
I hope so. Yeah.
Hey, Russ, you need to take seriously the pandemic, too. I can't believe you
have take it seriously. Don't undersell what I've said. I've taken gone to great length to take it seriously and protect myself. So, you know, everybody has to take care of themselves and their family and their neighbors and everything else. And don't let any door go unknocked. You know, if you don't see your neighbors for a while or whatever, you know, make some phone calls.
Well, and here's the other thing.
Take care of yourself.
Navi threw out a statistic about the fatality rate, the mortality rate when you're above 60 years old. We need to be careful with that, too, because we don't know how many people are actually have been infected and may have recovered. Until we know that, those numbers are impossible. And those numbers, by the way, are based on countries that have much lesser medical facilities and technology than we do here. So we need to be careful about throwing any of those numbers out there. But it is definitely more serious for those over 60 years old than it is those younger. However, I make this point today, and I made it to my kids yesterday. In the U.S., 29% of those hospitalizations so far have been with people between the ages of 25 and 44 years old. So,
absolutely. Just go to France if you want to see sick kids.
Yeah. it all needs to be taken seriously, and that's our message today. Don't really have any other news of the week to give you. Just that we are here. We're all in this boat together. And as Russ said, if you have an elderly person who's a neighbor, certainly we're aware of family members that may be in those most at-risk categories.
Yeah.
That's great. But remember all of those family members of others that may be a neighbor of yours. And if they're afraid to go to the grocery store, go to the grocery store for them. If they have needs, make sure they're taken care of. And on that note, we'll leave it at that and take a quick break. When we come back, it's the news update on the half hour. On the other side, we take you up to Bear River Lodge and, things like this. Getting your family out to snowmobile, as long as there's snow to be had, are still possible even in the midst of all of this. And believe me, I'm speaking from experience on what it can do to reset your anxiety levels and bring some joy and some memories to your family. So that's coming up next.